Number 220 be the invitation song, number 220.
Tonight we have the first step in the plan of salvation to look at, that we are to hear, and we are to believe, and we are to repent and confess and be baptized. This is the plan of salvation. The five steps illustrated in the drawing, or the drawing that was in the newsletter. Hearing. What do you think of when you say hear or hearing? What enters our minds when that word is registered in our ears? You see, to hear or hearing involves a lot of things. And for us as humans, it's one of the great miracles of God's creation. How that He gave us two ears, one mouth. But in that ear is intricate little bones, drum, all connected to nerves that go and interpret the sound. Now you explain all that to me. It could not, it is impossible for it to have just happened. Too many things involved. Too many complicated things involved. You see, when hearing takes place, it's more than a sound. The sound is received, the sound is interpreted, and then by the brain understood. This all is a process just instantly as I speak the words to you at this moment. That's what's taking place. You hear, but for the hearing to be complete, full-grown, mature, perfect, it has to be received and understood. And this is one of the difficulties of older folks beginning to see the results of that. Mentioned this morning by Luva and the TV program. Do you understand what those words, what they're saying? When there's lots of volume and noise, it gets more difficult with age to understand it, hear it, but it is not interpreted by the ear as it was when we were young. And so hearing, for it to be the true thing we're looking at now, tonight in this subject as the first step, well, I tell you what, I found out that the first step is really success is dependent upon something a little before that. The desire and the wanting to hear. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." There must be a desire to hear. And in fact, there's a saying that some people have, I've gone blank the word. Glenn told it to me the other, selective hearing. In other words, we as humans can select what we want to hear and what we don't want to hear. And so before the hearing can be successful and be received, there has to be a desire to hear it or want to know what is being said. So with all of this in mind, that it's a process. It's the way God made human beings. That to hear Him, and when I hear the word hear, I think of Moses. The many times when he would declare to Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God." And then he would proceed to give them the message from God, given to him to speak to the people. And many times the people heard, and they agreed, and that's a part of hearing too. And we'll notice that. But sometimes they agreed, and sometimes they said, "We will not." And so hearing is a very complicated when you begin to break it all down, but it is beautiful when we understand, and whenever we as humans, physically speaking, have the ability to take a sound and determine what it is. And if it's words, understand them and know what the message is that is being given for us to hear. And understanding has a great deal to do with that too. So hearing is an amazing thing. And having Karen, hard of hearing, in fact considered legally deaf, well, we've really seen that as she's grown up, seen the marvels of being able to hear and the difficulties when one cannot hear. And so the most challenging thing in raising a hard of hearing child or a deaf child is to know when they understand and when they don't. Because they haven't, in some cases, have not heard enough to really know whether they understand or not. And so this is a real challenge. Now, to our Heavenly Father, He is all wise and all knowing, and He knows. He doesn't have that difficulty. He has spoken His word in such a way that whoever will can come to Him, can hear Him, and know exactly what He expects of them and what He wants of them. In other words, hearing the Word of God is the one most important thing our ears are made for. To hear, as Moses would tell Israel, "Hear, O Israel." Now He's speaking to us, "Hear, O Christians. Hear, O sinners. Hear what I have planned for you to be successful and to receive the promises that I have given you." And so, because the Sunday evening services were planned to look at some of the conversions in Acts, I thought there's one most beautiful, and it was on the TV program this morning, the conversion of Saul. Let's look at that for a little while. We're going to go to, let's see, Acts chapter 9. And let's just read and notice the hearing in this case. "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way," that's Christians, "whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who art? Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he," that is Paul, Saul at this time, "trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?'" See what is the prerequisite of successful hearing, understanding, and making a perfect situation out of the voice of God spoken to Saul here. "And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" Hearing again necessary. Hearing again provided by God as a messenger. How shall they hear without a preacher? Here God provided Ananias the preacher. "And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one." Now, one of the things that is so amazing to me is Paul, or Saul at this time, going through this situation. Here is this man who is marching out, as the first verse says, to murder. And suddenly, this happens. And he falls to the ground. Hears a voice and answers and asks, "Who art you, Lord?" And he's given these instructions. Can you imagine the inner emotion of Paul? Here I've fought against his teachings. I've considered him false prophet. I am now involved in killing and arresting and persecuting Christians, his followers. Suddenly, out of nowhere, the light from heaven is so bright around him, he falls to the ground, and then he opens his eyes and he's blind. Can you imagine the emotions of this man? Then Saul arose. He rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Here you see the steps in this conversion. You see the steps that are clearly pointed out by all teachers of the gospel. Here, first of all, he's now heard. Now he's told to go into Damascus. And now he's 3 days without sight. Blind, as the old saying, is a bat. Blind. Neither ate nor drank. Picture that picture for a while. Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Hear my Lord." And here's an example of hearing. One has to be receptive. It has to say, "Hear my Lord," when he reads or he hears the word of God spoken. It has to be desired, or it will not be understood. It will not be received. It will not profit he who hears it, unless he is willing and ready to hear. "Here am I, Lord." This is the preacher. And so it is with all, preacher, sinner, whoever it may be. "Lord, hear my," when his word is heard. So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying." And here we see, he has not been saved yet. He hasn't had his sins removed yet. He's praying, but that's not the point of salvation. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And this kind of is one of those things that kind of escaped me many times in reading this. God gave a vision to Saul that Ananias was going to give him his sight back. And they just kind of skip over that. But God had done that. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man." And so the preacher begins to be a little cautious, as I'm sure all of us, every one of us would be. "How much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Many take this. This is a specific, special situation. This is God Almighty intervening to see that His plan is fulfilled. He needs somebody to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And here He gives a miraculous manifestation and a giving of the Spirit to Paul when he obeys the gospel. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, which appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight." And this is the point, be filled with the Holy Spirit. This was a great and miraculous thing, as it was on the day of Pentecost. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. The other account is, he was before the mad mob in Jerusalem, and Paul was given an opportunity to defend himself. He goes further with this idea when it tells us that Ananias, he was baptized, but also before this happened, Ananias came in and said to Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And so this great and miraculous history of the conversion of the great Apostle Paul is amazing. And he, after this bright light from heaven shone about him and blinded him, his spirit was open and wanting to know, what do you want me to do, Lord? In fact, that's exactly what he said. What will you have me do? And the Lord directed him into Damascus and directed Ananias over to take care of the matter. And so all the steps of conversion are seen there. But we're focusing on the hearing this morning. I mean this evening. Would have been this morning. But we changed. This evening it's on the hearing. And you see, God conditioned this special chosen vessel of His, conditioned him ready to the point that says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Wouldn't it be wonderful if every man, woman, boy, and girl had that attitude? Then God's Word has free course to go in and to guide and to save one from their sins through the gospel and by the gospel and in obedience to the gospel. So, hearing. One would never be saved do they not hear if they will not hear. If they are not interested and they will not hear, one will never be saved. So it's kind of like one writer put it, you take the first step, if never taken, you never get there. And so is the case with all the steps of salvation. You can take one step, two step, three step, but until you take all the steps that are necessary to get from one point to the other point, you never get there. Oh, that the world could understand that. Hearing is necessary, but it's the first step. You're ready for the second, then the third, and so forth, until all has been accomplished and salvation is received. But hearing, let's look at it for a little while now. And now that we've looked at the conversion of Saul just briefly and rereading it, and read the other one, and the other account, Paul's own account of it. This is Luke's account here in Acts. His account of it. Paul gives his own account of exactly what happened in Luke chapter 22, verses 4 through 22. And it would do us all well. Brian talked about us studying more. Do as well to memorize that and to understand it backwards and forwards. So that Satan in his twisting of Scripture through his servants and angels will not be successful and deceivingness. In looking at some of the ideas or the thoughts, some of the makeup of the word here, let's look at some of the things that make it possible, and when it's successful in its steps of understanding, convincing us of the truth that is being spoken by God to us through His Word. And Hebrews tells us clearly, times past God spoke to the prophet. God spoke directly to the prophets. But He's in His last days, that is, in the Christian dispensation, He's spoken to us by His Son. That's the way He speaks to us. His Son speaks to us through His new covenant, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. And God has, by His great power, and man has tried everything possible in his power to destroy the words of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the New Testament. And God has preserved it for us. We need to thank Him every day for that. We don't have to rely on some miracle maybe that might happen. We have it all. The plan of salvation. The instructions of living. In fact, as Peter puts it, all things that pertain to this life and to godliness is provided in the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Hear, O Israel. Or hear, O people of mine. And hear, O ye of the world and sinners. Here. For it to be successful, there must be agreement. This is another makeup of successful hearing. Agreement. In other words, it can't be, I don't believe that. No, I don't agree with that. There must be agreement. And when I think of hearing, I think of mom and dad when I was a little boy. I remember our kids when they were growing up. How many times? I don't remember my dad ever having to say it much because he didn't say too much. But when he said it, you better believe he meant it. But I can remember mom a many times. George Arthur, didn't you hear me? And I'd say, yeah, mom, I'm going. I'm going to do it. That's the way God is with us, you know. Don't you hear? I've given you the words permanently recorded from the Lord Himself, sealed by His own blood. Did you not hear it? And so this launches out in all kinds of subjects of study, memorizing, meditating on the Word of God. Well, what did mom mean when she said, didn't you hear me? She knew I heard it. She meant, why aren't you in agreement with it? Why aren't you acting upon it? Why aren't you doing what I told you to do? So agreement is an ingredient of successful hearing. So the step that leads us to hearing in the first place that's successful is to, as the Scriptures tell us, he that would come to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek. For successful hearing, there must be the understanding there is a God and that He is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So having that understanding then makes more clear the teaching in agreement with the teaching with that is given that we are to hear, the teaching which comes from God. It means compliance with what we hear. You know, you've heard of compliant children. That's what it's talking about. Children, when they are instructed, obey. So obedience is a part of successful hearing. Hearing from God, the instructions He has for us, then acting upon it. Didn't you hear, George? That's what Mom was saying.
Why haven't you acted on it?
Why haven't you done as I instructed you? So obedience then blends in, and you see how it all begins to fit together. And this is just touching the hem of the garment on this subject. It's acceptance of what is being said that we hear. We accept it. Or there is actually no hearing in its complete and full meaning and its purpose. There must be the acceptance. Understand there is a God and that His Word is always true. And His Word will judge us in the last day. And so, with all of these things present in our life and in our minds, it makes us ready to hear. Hear. First real big step in obedience to the gospel of Christ. And then there's the idea, too, is given to us as we look at the Word and the commentaries on it and etc. Confession. We, when we hear and act upon it and obey the Lord, that is our confession. In one sense of the word, it's our confession to who He is and why I'm acting, why I'm believing, and why I have to hear first before believing. I have to understand. That's another important ingredient in hearing. Hearing is really no value until understood. We've already illustrated that. We've got to understand what's said, or we don't know what's said. So, understanding is so important. And that's why prayer should be rise from our hearts and our lips quite often. Lord, give me understanding. Open my eyes that I might understand, and by understanding, comprehend the Scriptures. Understand what You're really telling me. Understanding not from the sound only, but understanding what its power is, what its result is, and the promises You've given us. That if we will hear, if You will walk in the light as He is in the light, that light can be also focused on the idea of hearing. Jesus is the light of the world, and so to hear Him, to be a part of that light, receive that light, one must hear. And in hearing, we believe and proceed on the steps of salvation. Understanding. That's one of the difficulties of communicating with others. And that's one of, I guess, one of Lou and I's most difficult things is getting on the same page and understanding what we're talking about. Because I'm thinking something, maybe it's about a motor that won't start. And I'm all tied up with that. And so with that in the background, I say something that she should know because I'm thinking about it. But she doesn't. And vice versa. She will start talking about something and I say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, she has it figured out. She had it in her mind. It was all clear. But it's difficult for us to say things in such a way that those that hear us understand. And it's a difficult thing for me to try to put words in such a way that those that I'm saying something to understand. Because I know what I want to say, but they don't. They have to rely on what I say. Well, the thing that's so wonderful is that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, they're not limited with human disabilities or lack of abilities like you and me. God knows everything. He knows exactly how to say it to him who will hear, who will listen. and respect him as God. And that's one of the things back to the child. Don't you hear me? A great deal of that has to do with the respect and the reverence the child has for the parents. Because we're creatures who hear sometimes what we want to hear. And that point I made briefly. So understanding is so important. And so that's why the study of scriptures, that's why it's so important to hear to the point of understanding. And to confirm is also an idea in the process of hearing. To confirm. Yes, Lord. Like Saul did. Who are you? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecuted. Lord, what do you have me do? And so, confirming the source and the truth of what is being said. And this is what Satan is so good at. Deceiving and lying. Changing the Word of God so that maybe we'll doubt a little bit. Maybe that's not what, as he did in the beginning. Well, it's more to it than this. He convinced Adam and Eve. God just don't want you to be wise like him. You're not going to die. And he fills the hearts and minds of the world with that, and irons if we're not careful. So we got to, a part of hearing is to confirm that which is spoken by God is true and right, holy and just, merciful and kind, full of love, and for our benefit. So compliant is a part of receiving the teaching that comes from God. In other words, like Saul saying, well, very well. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. As Paul said, who are you? He told him, what do you have me do? Teaching. Part of the hearing. So to hear God, there must be the right attitude, I guess is the word I'm trying to get at. The right attitude toward the Word of God, which is the thing we're talking about being heard, that we are to hear, which is the first great step in salvation. How would you know what to do if you didn't hear it? And we hear it how? We hear it spoken. We hear it reading. We hear it meditating on it after we read it. We hear it when we study it. And as Brian brought forth this morning, refers us to another part, and we go to here and we go to there and begin to put it all together. And that's why we're to pray for wisdom. Wisdom is the applying of the knowledge that we have in the right way. So when we study God's Word and we look through it and we begin to know, memorize, and know what the Bible says on different subjects in its different chapters and verses, then praying for wisdom, God will give to his people, to anyone listening, even to the sinner who's really searching for truth, he will give them wisdom that all begins to fall together. Understand, yes, I must hear, but that's only the first step. And it's the idea of just kind of explaining, of course, yes, as we've already said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Speak, Lord, your servant here. Do we do that? Do we say, Lord, I'm not sure about this matter. I will study your word and give me the wisdom to understand and to then act upon it. Saying, very well, Lord. And the other thought in looking at the word and what it could mean in different contexts. Of course. Yes, Lord. Of course. I hear you. I will do it. Faith comes by hearing. Give that a little different meaning. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's the source of faith. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing. We got to want to hear. We got to be searching. This is true for the saint or the sinner. Searching for the truth. Thy word is truth. The Lord Himself said in His prayer. No question about it. Thy word is truth. And faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Isn't it beautiful how God's Word is so put together that no matter how wise or how old we get, we are amazed at how much I don't know. How much God knows in His Word and is just anxious, like we're anxious to teach our little children how to tie their shoe, how to do this or how to do that. I'm telling you in my Word, please hear. Please understand it. Another, in certain contexts, another idea is just, amen. Let it be so, Lord. When you hear what He has to say through His holy apostles, by the Holy Spirit, through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the new covenant of Christ, amen. Let it be. As you have stated, Lord, as you have said to me in your word, let it be. Let me be busy doing that. And the idea that certainly, yes, certainly, that's the truth. And that's what I want. Conversion is a marvelous thing. And it is just simple steps. But Satan has just muddied the water, hoping we'll never see it. Trying to put out all kinds of false doctrines, false ideas, false truths. Saying, well, take one step, that's all you need. Take two if you want, but really the rest aren't necessary. Everything you can imagine to get us to doubt what we've heard. But here's a caution. We're not, Lou and I was talking about that today. We received this magazine from a terrible false doctrine. And it is amazing the stuff they come up with that is totally off the wall as far as Scripture is concerned. Totally against truth to try to prove a point. And that point is false. If it isn't based on the Word of God, it's not true. I wondered, in closing, if we might, in the last few minutes, if we might look over to Matthew chapter 13. Oh, I would suggest you read chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13. This is some of the great teachings of Jesus by parables and otherwise. But the point I wanted to get at is the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13 and beginning with verse 18. Here the parable of the sower is explained to the disciples by the Lord Himself. Here is the explanation. And I can understand how they, hearing this parable, what in the world is he talking about? Sowing seed, some fell on good ground, some fell on thorny, some stony, and some on good. What's he talking about? We're religious people. We're the children of God. We're the Israelites. And here he's talking about sowing. And so when they take him aside or they're alone together, they ask him, what's the meaning of the prayer? Can you explain that to me, Lord? And so he goes just directly into it. Verse 18. Therefore, he says, hear the parable of the sower. After they had questioned him and asked him to explain it. He says, when anyone hears the word. Now here you can begin to get a little idea of how this word hear is to be understood in the sense that he's talking about here, and to understand it under other contexts as well. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that's the words of the Lord recorded for us in the New Testament, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is he who receives seed by the wayside. You remember that we know this so well. He scatters the seed on the roadside or the pathway where there's no depth of earth or no, it's hard. It's just laying there. The birds come and carry it away. Jesus explains this to them in such beautiful words. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, one of the greatest meanings of hearing. The necessity of understanding our hearing will never be complete. Understanding. He hears it, but doesn't understand it. And that's what the disciples did not understand it. And I thank God that Jesus explained it to them because I needed to explain it. He needed to explain it to me too. And so he does. So the point is that the mind must be open. The mind must be wanting to know and have the spirit of Saul and say, Lord, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? Now we can't just say that and pay no attention to what he says. Of course, we have the advantage now. We have the complete word. We don't even have to ask him. He's already told us. We need to go search and find out. Kingdom of heaven is like a woman who lost a coin and she sweeps the whole house to find it. In other words, do we want to hear? Is the main problem with the world and sometimes with you and me. We fall in the category of fleshly men. We will hear what we want to hear. We must convince our hearts, I want to hear the word of the Lord. And so he explains it clearly. Anyone hears the word but does not understand. God will give the understanding to the heart that wants to understand. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root. You remember a sermon I had along quite a while back on what I learned in the garden? About that old weed root the weed broke off and it didn't pull the root up. And the scriptures tell us to beware lest there be a root of bitterness in us. There's still life in that. And the point is, we've let that grow a root in our minds in many cases. He says he has no root. He has not nourished and cherished the Word of God in his mind. It is filled with the world. And there's a root there that you can get rid of the bad habits and the sins as a Christian by repentance, confession, and prayer. But if the root's not out, it's coming back. As soon as there's some rain, it's going to come back. So yet he has no root in himself, but endures. Remember, he received the seed. He hears the word, and he receives it with joy. But he hasn't pulled the root of worldliness worldly ways of thinking from his mind. And when the tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, because he's a Christian now, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. All of these hear it. And the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. See how an expanded understanding of hearing is now when you get some scriptures like this to teach you. Hear. Hear his word. But he who received the seed in the good ground is he who hears the word. He understands the word. And he who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So I'll use my time. I hope that I've spurred in you an interest into looking in to this simple yet most complicated step of hearing, and how it's successful, and the parable of the sower just tells us how it is unsuccessful as well as successful. I wonder if any of the brethren have any thoughts or corrections or additions to what's said before we close. There's nothing. We'll stand together, sing the invitation, those subject to the gospel call. We invite you to come while we sing.
Probably right.
We can donate it.